Welcome to Hair Blazers, the podcast where we empower you to disrupt the beauty industry, starting with your chair and your salon. You can focus on running your business and tune in here to find out how to keep it moving forward. Before I introduce you to our guest today, here are three quick tips to build your personal brand. First, describe yourself in a few words. Are you funny, informative, inspiring, authentic, or all of the above? You want to make sure that your true self is shining through because that's what's going to resonate the most with your audience. Number two, define the value that you're providing for others. Don't be afraid to tell people what insight you can offer if they follow you. And lastly, pick 3 to 5 content buckets. Having general categories for your posting about will keep you connected to your value proposition while also making sure that your content stays fresh. Our guest today is a stylist, an educator, a YouTuber, and so much more, as well as the creator of MR Bridal. Welcome, Morgan Roy.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to have you, and especially for our conversation today, which is all around personal branding. And especially, I'm excited to have this conversation with you because you've built up your YouTube to, I think, almost 17,000 subscribers now, which is awesome. And you have a great presence on Instagram as well. So I'd love to hear kind of how you got started in building your personal brand on social and building yourself on YouTube as well.
Well, thanks for having me. It's nice to be in my home city of Winnipeg.
Winnipeg!
Even though I am based in Toronto and I have been for over 20 years. When it comes to personal branding, to be honest, I feel like it's always an evolution. And as someone that teaches, I also feel like I am always learning. And so it is still definitely a learning in progress, where every day I feel like even with every post that I make on Instagram, I'm learning from it.
Absolutely. And these platforms change so much over time. They're rolling out new features. The algorithm is changing. The things that people engage with are changing. So it totally makes sense that you're a continuous learner and continuing to refine those things, because the platforms are always changing and you really have to be open to learning and be able to adapt to those changes.
Yes. And I think it's important to understand your audience, because you're not going to be for everyone. And that was probably one of the things that I'm focusing on now. I do have a client avatar. I know who she is, actually. And when I'm choosing platforms to be on, I do think about this client avatar that I have, where I'm like, well, where will she be looking for things? What does she want? Whereas when I first started, and when I started YouTube, to be honest, it was just a project because I wanted to get better at public speaking and get better at being on camera. And so after doing that, I'm glad that I had that experience and I'm always like learning stuff, but now I'm being a little bit more deliberate in the branding that I am doing and also the amount of time that I have allocated. I think for some people, if you have a huge team, well, then they can be on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, writing their blog. For me, I'm like, okay, what can I outsource? And what's gonna be the most impactful?
Absolutely. And when you're a team of one, you really have to decide what is going to be the most impactful for me to do, because a lot of what we don't see behind the scenes is people who have these like really massive social media presences. It's not just them, whether it's a YouTube channel, whether it's a TikTok creator, whether it's, you know, somebody who's doing all of the like 800 platforms that are available now. Those people have teams behind them.
Yeah, teams and also money.
Yeah, absolutely. They're usually, when you get to that level, you're also being compensated, whether it's by brands or by the platforms themselves. So it definitely makes a difference. But I want to circle back to that, that kind of client avatar or the avatar of the person that you're speaking to, because I think a big mistake or a challenge that a lot of people have is defining who they're speaking to. Because if you don't know who you're speaking to, you don't get a clear idea of where those people are. You don't have a clear idea of the best way to communicate with them, the way that they're going to best receive that information, what they want, like you mentioned. So I'd love to hear a little bit about what your avatar is, like what she looks like, what her life is like.
My avatar is Emily. Emily is 31 years old And in this case, she is engaged because I made sure my avatar was going to be purchasing or looking for my bridal hair accessories. And the things that she likes to do is she has a pet, she likes to go to good restaurants, drink great wine, and she's not a do-it-yourselfer.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then as far as with the pro tools that I have, that avatar is separate from Emily. That avatar is someone that has basically done their hair school, they're starting out in the industry, and they just need to kind of get the shortcuts in order to have the best tools or to have an opportunity to get education from someone that's already kind of walked in those footsteps for them. But to be honest, like Emily and the Pro Tool avatar, they're about the same age. Like they're both sort of in their 30s, a little bit younger with the Pro Tools. But that's where when I think of this person, I actually don't necessarily think of it from my own point of view because I'm 10 years older than Emily. I do go to different places than her. So I always make sure to have friends that are younger and even my clients. And to be honest, I do a lot of research. With bridal, I was able to look up statistics. We do record weddings in this country, or marriages, I should say. And so I was able to pull that information.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I love that. And one thing that's really interesting too is you have that kind of B2C component of Emily, and then you also have the more B2B component of your pro line and addressing people who are also in the industry. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really smart. And obviously when you're kind of having those two different conversations, those are two different people. Those are two different ways of communicating as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you either get it right or you learn something is my approach to business. And there's things that I was doing, heck, even like last week that I'm like, huh, maybe I could be doing this differently.
Yeah. And I think that taking the change that's happening, taking things that don't necessarily perform as well, and using that as a learning experience is a big part of being on social media, because I think there's definitely a component of resilience that needs to be there alongside the learning. You know, if something doesn't go well, it's not like, well, this isn't for me, everything's terrible, I'm shutting down my account, I'm never doing this again. You have to be able to get back out there. But I would say by and large, you know, one of the things that a lot of people have fear of surrounding social media is trolls or people hating on them. And I think unless you're at like an extremely high level of fame or notoriety, that doesn't really happen. You don't necessarily get people hating on you or like being mean to you on social media. And if you do have the odd person, you can always just block them.
To quote RuPaul, he says that, you know, you only have to worry about the people that are paying your bills. And so I do think of like, I only want to place energy towards the people that are actually going to be my consumer or be my supporter, and to put a lot of energy and space and time into people that are just trying to drain me of my energy. I guess I've just really learned not to go there.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So I think one thing that is a challenge for people when they're operating like a one-person show is consistency. So what kind of tools and practices and procedures do you have in place that have helped you build consistency on social over the years?
Okay, so I'm going to be totally honest. I don't know if I am consistent. I outsource. So right now I'm working with a consultant that's helping me with brand strategy, also helping me develop wholesale relationships, because that's a whole area of retail that I don't know. And we'll sort of look at things on social media and be like, you know what, take this down, or this needs to look like that. Because as far as posting goes, it's just me. That's not true. This person also has the ability to go into my account and post things. So I think it's like working with a team, making sure you trust your team, and then paying attention to how much time you have, how much energy you have, and how much funding you have. Because if it's not working, then you do have to change course. Like there were certain things that I've done in the past that it wasn't, it was great. It was fun. I love the creative process. I could do photo shoots for my brand all day long, but I have to then also be like, okay, but am I making sales? Am I connecting with the customer? So I think when you're doing social media, you really need to pay attention to where your customers are. Currently, I'm not really on TikTok. I think I have a handle and I've posted like maybe 2-3 things. But as far as my client avatar goes, they're on TikTok, but they're not necessarily buying. So it's not an area where I allocate a lot of time or money.
Emily's on Instagram. Let's be real.
I think so. She's 31. Yeah. So
although there's lots of people who are on TikTok, like the demographic has widened considerably. Totally. In terms of primary platform, you're definitely looking at Instagram still.
Yeah, Instagram. I don't worry about Facebook too much. To be honest, a lot of things are connected. Mm-hmm. So you do get a lot of the same information. And going back to your earlier point, I think it's you can always delete. You can archive. So it's like, what's the harm in just posting? Like, I'll just post something and if it doesn't perform well, then I'm not concerned about it like destroying me because I can always take it down.
Absolutely. And the thing is too, you know, if you do post something and it doesn't do super well, in a week, it might get picked up. Either somebody sees it on their explore page, somebody sees it through a hashtag, and then it might actually do really well. So something not doing well immediately doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to do well at all.
Totally, because you have to look at short term and long term.
Absolutely.
And also, like, at the heart of it all, I am an educator. And so my content is, first and foremost, I just want it to have a good feeling of love. I want everyone to be happy when they see it. And then also for there to be a bit of an education piece if I need to put it there.
I think another challenge that a lot of people have is knowing how to measure the success of their personal brand on social. A lot of people get really caught up in whether it's likes or followers. And, you know, those metrics are important. But I think a lot of people have this idea that if they don't have like 10 million followers, they're not doing something right or they're losing, quote unquote, on social media. And that's really not the case.
And it's also what you're wanting to get out of social media.
Exactly.
Like, I don't see myself as an influencer. I've never set out to be an influencer. To be honest, I'm pretty private, so there's a lot of stuff that I wouldn't want to share. And so by building a personal brand, it's nice because I can kind of hide behind it, even though it is my name. I love that I have a team also that will say to me, oh no, Morgan, like that's not on brand. Like they're always looking out for me. So I think it's really important that you choose the right people around you.
Yeah, absolutely. And to really not get caught up in those vanity metrics, because like you said, you know, if you have 200 followers and they're all engaged and all people who could potentially be your clients, be your guests, make a purchase from you, you're doing awesome. If those 200 people are engaging consistently, you're doing a fantastic job. And if you can have 10 million followers and not a single one would make a purchase or take your education class, etc. So it's really more of a quality over quantity game at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So tying back to that avatar that you've created, what value do you want people to get from following you? Because I think that's another area that people really miss is they think about like, okay, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to put out. And they don't necessarily think, what value is this offering to my consumer or guest or whoever that person in that situation is? They define it around like what I want to do versus what is somebody actually going to get out of this?
I was filling a need when I started. So with the bridal hair accessories, a lot of what was out there was really sort of over the top and very embellished. And so when I started, I just wanted to find things that were really like pared down, very minimal. So when I'm on Instagram or social media, I tend to push the product, and that's because I'm trying to fill a need. It's not that I'm like, oh, I want to sell. Of course I want to sell. But ultimately, I'm like looking at Emily and I'm like, there she is. And she's out in these shops and she's not finding something that makes her feel like a total babe. And I know that I have that for her. So when you go on my Instagram, you're going to get inspiration, because I think when you find someone that has inspiration that's something that you find inspiring, you want to know more, you want to follow. And then you'll also see the accessories that are placed on the head on different hair types, skin tones, types of people, because I think it's also important. And it's not necessarily, like, it's trendy, I guess, but I think it's really important to be as inclusive as possible. Like, when I started out doing research on bridal, everyone had hair kind of like me, where it was like blonde, that they had it straightened and then put into an updo. And that bothered me because I was like, no one should have to change their hair type in order to feel wonderful on their wedding day. So a lot of my images, even on the website, you'll see that I have three hair types, three different people, so that you can kind of select through. I would love to do more. It's just, again, timing, budget. But yeah, I want Emily, whoever like Emily, her hair type is, I want her to be able to feel like my products would work for her.
Absolutely. And that definitely brings you a broader range of connection, because if only people who have like long blonde hair can connect with your photos and your branding, which again, so much of bridal is exactly what you just described, you're really missing out on the opportunity to connect with so many people. And I think also, you know, inclusion and inclusivity has value on its own as well.
Yeah, it's just, I want to be nice and kind to people and make them feel included.
Absolutely. So I've been following you for a while, and I definitely noticed in the last year or so, I'm not exactly when it changed, you have made the shift into focusing a lot more on the bridal side of things versus, you know, accessories more generally. So I'd love to talk about that shift and how you kind of ended up moving into that niche as opposed to what you were doing before.
So that's a good question. Going back to seeing what works and seeing what doesn't work, I think it's also what's interesting to me. Right now, beginning this year, I did a bridal show at the convention center in Toronto. And then I was just at Lover's Land, which is a bridal shop on Ossington. And I think bridal is an area where I'm learning a lot, whereas hairdressing, I have over 23 years of experience in.
You've been doing it a long time.
Yeah, so you're seeing, I think, my own personal shift to learn new things. Mm-hmm. And so that's why there has been more focus that way. Not to say it's going to stay that way. I think there's a lot of conversations with the team that I have if I should just create a hair page and have it separate from the bridal. I think there's a way to kind of merge the two together. But I could or could not, like, I might be wrong. And that's where I'm willing to see how things perform. Because sometimes you don't know until you try. And failure can sometimes be amazing because it'll change your course. And then also success will be like, okay, well, let's look at this. But then to also know what worked a year ago might not work now.
Exactly. And I think so many people are afraid to make that shift of either, you know, this thing is doing well, I'm going to lean into it, or what I was doing last year isn't working now, but I feel comfortable with that, so I'm going to keep doing that. I think that's a mistake and kind of a trap that a lot of people get into.
Yeah, like, I have to say I have an entrepreneurial spirit. And so the idea of doing the same thing over and over again or something really traditional, I just can't do it. I have a hard time. I'm like, oh, geez. I might eat the same thing every day, though. That is one thing that I'm like, oh, I should probably change this up. But I think, if you're sort of curious, then you naturally just want to like do things differently or also see how other people are doing it. Because I learn a lot by watching others and not necessarily people that are like killing it. I also want to learn from other people that I just find interesting. Because to your point, mm-hmm. like some of the people that I follow don't have the most followers, but they're doing something that I find interesting. Like there's a lot of people out there, even hairstylists, people are like, oh, do you follow this person? And I'll be like, I look at their stuff, but no, I don't have it in my feed because I don't find what they're doing something that connects with me.
Even people outside your industry can be an awesome resource because if they're doing something well that's creating connection, community, and engagement, it doesn't matter if they're in like a totally different industry. It doesn't matter if they're like fixing cars. If something that they're doing is really connecting with their audience, that can be a learning opportunity.
Absolutely. And with service, which really Instagram, social media, I think it is the service. Mm-hmm. You're offering something to somebody. So why not, you know, learn how to do it better?
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of want to shift the focus outward now. What do you think are some opportunities that aren't being jumped on by other people who are trying to build a personal brand?
I think sometimes fear stops people from doing things that they want to do. And that's where I would just tell somebody, like, you know what? At the end of the day, this world is so big. And get outside of your bubble. You're like, I'm one person on this planet. Really? Come on, how important am I? I'm not really. And I don't mean that in like a self-deprecating way. But I think sometimes we get too serious. We're like, I shouldn't do this. Or I don't know. Or like, failed. And yeah. It's like, well, fail forward. That's Mary Kay Ash. Like, I look at entrepreneurs that have kind of done things before me. And one of the things that is really common is people will try something. They'll either fail or succeed or somewhere in the middle. And then they'll try again. And so I think there are some strategies of social media. I'm not naturally someone that's really gimmicky. That's not even the type of hairdressing that I do. And it can be incredibly successful. It can get you a lot of followers. You're not going to see me naked on Instagram. That Fair also enough. Gets people a lot of followers. And so like for people that want to do that, like by all means, do it if that's your brand and that's what's important to you. I guess I just try to be as authentic as possible when I'm producing my brand and I'm putting things out into the world. But I'm not so fear-based to not try something and then kind of go back and be like, well, what should I do next time? Or was this just pure luck? Because that's also a factor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that people don't realize is that that authenticity piece is so important. You know, you don't have to try to be somebody else who you see doing an awesome job. Like if you're listening to this, you don't have to be Morgan Roy. You can be you. You don't have to do exactly what somebody else is doing in order to replicate their success. It's going to be more impactful if you stay true to yourself. And if you're like, I have no idea what my authentic voice is, ask people around you, ask your friends, ask your family, go to therapy. That's great. That's just straight up great advice outside of this podcast. Go to therapy.
Yeah, I do. It's great. Yeah,
I do too. It's fantastic. Side note, side ad for therapy. Yeah, but as I was saying, you don't have to be somebody else. You can brainstorm, write down words that describe you, ask friends, ask family, have those conversations. And, you know, if time is a challenge, there's a lot of things you can do that take under 5 minutes that will just keep you active. And that can be opening up your personal brand on Instagram, going and commenting on 3 posts, or sharing something inspiring to your story, or snapping a photo of something you're doing and posting it, or posting it on your story. There's a lot of small ways that you can continue to engage that isn't necessarily having an entire like high fashion photo shoot or doing an extremely complex reel that has like 57 cuts and different video clips.
Oh yeah, because there's only so much time.
There's only so much time.
And I think that's also where it's important to get, if you are someone like, for me, I like things to look a certain way, and someone on my team will be like, hey, Morgan, no, it doesn't have to be that. I'm just going to shoot like a really cute behind the scenes and we'll make it a reel. And then they'll deliver and I'll look at it and be like, oh, this is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think that perfectionism, I feel like that's something that especially creatives and like especially hairstylists deal with. That perfectionism can really get in the way because you might have content, but you're like, oh, this isn't good enough, or like, maybe not, or like, I won't take a photo of this. But it's always better to have the content and put it out there and have something out there and be active versus sitting back and being like, I'm only going to post once every like 3 months when I take like the photo.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're starting out. I think if you're more established, then yes, you kind of can take breaks because you still have that following. But yeah, to be mindful of how often you're posting.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, I think the number one mistake you can make when you're building your personal brand is not showing up. You got to show up. You have to do it. Whether it's perfect or not, you just have to at least start putting yourself out there, because then you're building momentum.
Yeah, it's like in anything in life, show up.
Show up, show up, show up, and show up like 20 minutes early.
Show up and stay there.
Yeah.
Then you'll be, you know, at least that's going to get you on the road to success.
Absolutely. So what would be your number one piece of advice for somebody who wants to build a personal brand?
That was me taking a really deep breath.
That's okay. You can think about it.
To build your own brand, I think it's just to do it. I think so often people hesitate and then they think and they think and they whatever. And it's like, not taking action is actually making a choice.
Yeah.
Like, you are choosing not to do anything. And so I would just, my advice is like, just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just put yourself out there. And if you do have some time to reflect, you know, take a look at what value are you offering? Who are you trying to speak to? Just like, what is your voice? What is your authentic self? Those are like three things that you can just like take a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, I guess, like journal, reflect on, and then you're good to go. And if you've started before you've done those things, or if you're, you know, a couple years into this, or, you know, if you're a hairstylist who's 10 years into their Instagram account, you can still sit down and do that reflection and do those things and adjust accordingly. It's never too late.
And there's courses. Like, if you don't know how to do something, either you can educate yourself or you can hire someone that's educated in that area.
Absolutely.
Trying to do it all is going to be exhausting and probably isn't going to be helpful.
100%. Well, thank you for joining us today, Morgan. This is great. I feel like there's a lot of insight in this conversation. How to build your personal brand. Number one step, go to therapy. But before I let you go.
Well, I will say though, like for personal brand, like I do see myself as a self-care expert. Mm-hmm. In a previous life, I was totally a cat because I love to take care of myself. And so when I give advice to others about their own self-care, I'm leading by example.
I love that. So before I let you go, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can connect with you, where they can see all the awesome stuff you're doing?
So on social media, my hashtag is Morgan_Roy. My website is Morgan-Roy. And my YouTube channel is also Morgan Roy. And you can find me in those places. On my website, you'll see I update my events quite a bit. So if I am going to be around, you can always stop by and see me. And then I also still take clients. So I am at Chevello in Toronto at their Rosedale location. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Morgan.
It was great to be here at the Aveda Institute Winnipeg. And I just love what you're doing. And I'm so glad that I got to be a part of it today.
Thank you. It was great having you. And all of Morgan's details are going to be in the show notes.